hear me all right? Okay. I truly consider this
one of my great honors in life to spend a few minutes with you every week. I get the blessing for it every time I get into the Word of God and have the opportunity to share with you, then I am blessed for that. And that's the way God's Word is. And so I appreciate it. I know this is a labor of love from you guys, and I want you to know I appreciate it, not so much for whatever is in it, but for the fact that you did it. So thank you so much. And I trust that you had a good Christmas. Looking forward to a new year. It came upon us pretty quick, didn't it? And it is here. So good to see you this morning. I am going to take a slight detour from John chapter 17. We started John 17, and you had the handout 2 weeks ago, and we filled it out about halfway, I believe, and we need to finish that, and we will do that next week. So hang on to those. We're going to take a small detour and go over to Proverbs for today. And the reason I'm going to do that is sometimes when you're in your devotions or sometimes when you're reading, a passage of Scripture will reach out and grab you by the collar and shake you. I've always appreciated God's power in doing that. And so we're going to be in Proverbs for just a minute or for just one day. And New Year's Day starts, and many of us have New Year's resolutions, don't we? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We think of all these things, and I've had a few years where I've had a few. I don't have any this year. Just kind of living life as it happens. But some years we make these New Year's resolutions, and this year I was reading the book of Proverbs, and I want to read a verse with you in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Certainly for the Christian, one of the greatest things that we could do in the way of a New Year's resolution would be a continued, or if it's not there, a renewed, new appreciation or realization of how important God's Word is for our lives. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in them. Now, right off the bat, let's just look at and see how matter of fact those two statements are. Every word of God is pure. Now, that tells me that I can have the confidence in what I'm reading that it is true. Now, we as humans, and if you know anything about people who write books about saying how many errors there are in God's Word or there's contradictions, well, if those guys would just look long enough, and if they would do their due diligence in reading the Word of God and in the context of how it was written and in the Word study, there you would find the Word of God does not have errors in it. I can put my faith, and you can put your faith and trust in the Word of God. We are probably all in the same boat in the sense that first of all, our generation and your generation and my generation, we didn't have all this social media. And so we might be a little more sick of it than the younger people, but it is sickening how inaccurate social media can be. It is so good to be able to get up in the morning or before you pillow your head at night and give your attention to something that is correct. It is pure. It is relevant. And it's going to be relevant until the end of time, until we get to heaven. And we hear it verbally from our Lord Himself. So every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in them. We don't know what 2023 holds. We don't know what kind of COVID pandemic-like thing we're going to go through, or some Nazi-like control that people might try to take over our lives. We have no idea. We have no idea what kind of catastrophes may happen in 2023. But I do know this, and whatever it is, we need to continue to put our trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we all know this fact. We believe this. I'm preaching to the choir here. We believe the Word of God. But we just need to make sure we cement that in our heads and in our lives and in our practice. We all know this, but practically, we can forget it. Practically, we don't do it. And that's why Brother Chris, every January 1st, talks about these read through the Bible schedules. That's very, very important. That is a discipline. You know, I've always liked the word dynamic because for example, I'm going to give you this example. There's a special dynamic among God's people when we come into His house and submit ourselves together to the Word of God. There's a special dynamic when an individual has the respect and the love and the desire to get into the Word of God, tune everything else out, put the phone in the farthest room in the house on silent, and allow God's Word to just soak into your heart. That is a special dynamic that we need. And Valerie and I were discussing this week about reading through the Bible, and she's doing one, and I'm doing one, and we need that. That is a discipline. But we also need devotional-style reading. You know, you need time. Look, we're human. Everybody in here human? Yeah, most of us are pretty human. I like to get things done. And so if I don't watch it, listen to me. If I don't watch it, Brother Jerry, that read through the Bible schedule down there will be my sole passion for the morning when I get up is to check off that box and get that done because I know it's important. I got to get that done. We got to watch, not just reading through the Bible, but taking time to read God's Word and let it soak in. See what He's saying. My mom's been gone 25 years, almost 26 years, and one thing I learned from her, she read through a proverb a day. Now, she had other stuff that she read, you know, other Bible texts, but she read a proverb a day, and you can do that because Proverbs has 31 chapters, and so that's more than enough. We have the most days we have in any one month is 31 days, and so many times I'd start doing that, and I've been doing that this year, this past year, and so I have enjoyed that, and so I came up on Friday, I came up on chapter 30, and I saw this verse, and it confirmed to me you're doing the right thing. You're in God's Word. You put your faith and trust in God's Word. And Proverbs has so much that says we need to be that way. We need to do that. Listen to some of these. I'm just going to read a sampling. The 31 chapters is full of God's advice to us to be in His Word, but I'm just going to read a small sampling of some of these, and I'll tell you where they're found right before I read them. Proverbs 13, verse 13 says, Who despiseth the Word, listen to this, shall be destroyed. Wow, talking about statements, that's pretty extreme. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 5 says, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, and then in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's a promise I can hold to. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24. Hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law. Now what is his law? That's his word. That's what he says. That is the thought that he tries to convey to us in Scripture. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 2. Keep my commandments and live, not like this, and my law as the apple of thine eye. That speaks of delight. That speaks of joy. You know, my wife up there, Valerie's the apple of my eye. I found her, as a good friend, first of all, in 1988, and then in 1989 we got married, and she's been the apple of my eye. And God says, let my word be your joy. Let my word provide that delight to your life. And so we need this daily wisdom from God's word. We need this. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn over to Proverbs 6 for this next one, because I want you to see it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. I'll give you just a minute. Proverbs 6, verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Now, first of all, let's stop right there. Why do we need light? We need light to see. I mean, we'd stub our toe if we didn't have light. We couldn't do anything if we didn't have a light. The Bible says in that verse, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Now look at this phrase right here. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now reproofs right there, that word means rebukes or chastisement. That means correction. That means reasoning, re-reasoning. Think about this again. Change your course of action based on the reason that needs to take place in your heart. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, I've known a few people in my time who could not stand to be corrected. You know anybody like that? I don't care. They could be as factually untrue, or they could be as extreme or severe in their thinking or whatever they say. If you try to correct them, you're going to have World War III unleashed on you. You've known them. I've known them too. But here this verse says that reproofs of instruction, rebukes, reproofs is what that means. Rebukes, chastisements of instruction or correction are the way of life. Now, I have the blessing of speaking to seniors. And seniors have been corrected in life, haven't we? You know, we've been corrected many times. We're corrected by law enforcement people or job people or the IRS or, you know, you name it. You can name all kinds of instruction and correction that we've... So we've kind of learned to take it a little bit better than young people, haven't we? But the Bible says reproofs of instruction is normal. It's a way of life. It's what life is all about. It is what we have to understand as a child of God. And so where am I going with this? Well, as a Christian, when we refuse that instruction, meaning when I get into the Word of God in my devotions or my reading through the Bible schedule, and I see something that speaks to my heart and causes me to desire a change in my life based on what God says should happen and what God says should change, and I refuse to do that, there's a correction waiting for me. There's a reproof. There's a rebuke waiting for me because I refuse that correction. And it shows that my pride in myself is greater than my trust in God. You get it? It shows that we read it, but we really don't understand it. So yes, we do need the RTB, the read through the Bible schedule. We do need daily meditation in the Word of God. We need that daily reproof. We need to be told that, hey, you're born with this infallible mind. We're born with this messed up way of thinking, aren't we? Man, I can just turn my head and get some messed up thoughts. I mean, it can go south quick, can't it? You know, your attitude can change or your actions can change, and most of us are that way. Probably all of us are that way. We can go south in a hurry, and we need God's word to correct us. We need God's word to prompt us to say, hey, you've been thinking this way. Well, let me give you another way to think. So I came up to chapter 28 on Wednesday, and I want to take you there to a verse. And this is an example of how God's word, it has changed my thinking about this topic right here. And it's just an example for you. What I say here about this topic is not to convince you any one way, but what it did do is convince me that I needed to give this a second thought, okay? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27 says this right here. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Now, it was the week before Thanksgiving when I was standing, I got out of my truck and was walking into CVS, and I was approached by a man, and I felt like he was going to ask for money, which he did, and he walked over to the truck and gave me this story about, you know, having four kids and out of work and needing money. He needs to feed them. They haven't eaten in, you know, about 6,000 days or something like that. And anyway, I think he said 3 or 4 days or something like that. Well, I didn't have any cash on me. He asked for cash. And so I said, well, sir, I tell you what, I don't have any cash. But if you'll come into CVS with me, they got a cooler in here full of drinks, and they've got sandwich material, and they got snacks. I'll buy you what you need in food. I angered him. He turned around and walked off. You've had similar experiences, maybe, and if you haven't, you've seen it on TV how these investigative reports have busted so many of these guys that are at the intersections and in the parking lots wanting money. And it's the holidays, and so many people are wanting money and very good donation requests and all that. So we have internally inside of us built up a mechanism, haven't we? I certainly did. I mean, I felt particularly. I wanted to help him by getting food, but I'm glad I didn't have any cash because I wouldn't have given that to him anyway because I just don't think that's good. But we've seen this fraud and deceitfulness, and we see it all the time. And so, although I haven't intended to do that, I have over the years started shutting my mind off to this. Because you've got to use good judgment. God gives us a certain amount of money, and he asks that we be good resources of the funds that he's given us. So I don't want to blow it. That's not going to honor him. And I don't want to give it to somebody that's going to go down to the liquor store two doors down and get what he wants to feed his kids with. You know? No, I don't want to do that. That's not being a good steward of my money. So we're human, and we get this automatic response in our head. Well, Lord wouldn't ask me to throw my money away like that, and he wouldn't. But making that jive with this verse is tough, because I really don't know anything about this man or this person that asked. There's a special dynamic here, if you will. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. That's a blessing. But he that hideth his eyes or ignores it, he that ignores the fact that the poor has no money, shall have many a curse. So the burden is upon us to try to understand, and we have to ask God for discretion in these matters. But is this person sincerely in need, or is he deceitful? Is he a liar? Is he a fraud? Now, that was chapter 28. I'm sorry, I'm looking for another verse that I want to show you, and I thought I wrote it down. Yeah, Yeah, there it is. Now go to Proverbs 29. This was Thursday. So Lord's talking, he's already talking all day Wednesday. In fact, I told Valerie, we had a big long conversation about this, about giving to people and knowing what to do, doing the right thing as a child of God. What do I do? So Thursday comes and I'm reading Proverbs 29, and look in verse number 7, the very next day. Verse number 7 says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. There it is again. Pounding on my heart. Hey, listen to this. And so what I'm trying to say is God's Word, if we place our faith and trust in God's Word, at times it's going to challenge your thinking. God's Word is going to challenge the mechanisms in your mind, because that's what it did right here. I have the common sense to know that not everybody that asks for a buck or some money or something like that is legit. And so, we know that, and it's been proven time and time again, so we can automatically shut that out of our mind, and when somebody comes up, can't help you, bud. But how does that jive with these two verses? You know, how does that jive? How do we figure this out? And so I kept reading in chapter 29, and I want you to go down to verse number 13 with me. It says, the poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. This was like a stair step for me. Okay, so here I am trying to figure out, you know, I was thinking back to this CVS guy in the parking lot, you know, at CVS, and I'm trying to think, should I give him money, should I not, you know, and then I see these two verses about how, you know, the precedents that are set in those two verses says that I should be generous to the poor. There's great blessings to me if I'm generous to the poor. And then the second verse there in chapter 29, verse 7 says that the righteous at least considers it. You consider the situation instead of blocking it out of your mind. No, bud, can't help you. Well, maybe it's worth a second look. Maybe it's worth a conversation. Now, in my case, in the parking lot at CVS, that was cut and dry. If my kids were hungry and somebody offered to go into CVS and get them sandwich meat or whatever's in the cooler, I can guarantee you I'd say yes. Yes. And so he had something else on his mind, and whatever that was, that's his deal. But here in chapter 29, verse 13, the whole beauty of it is whatever the case with this man, whether he is indeed poor and destitute or whether he is a deceitful man altogether, the Lord's got his number. You catch that? God's in charge of this thing. And God knows the intention of my heart. Brother Stacy, if God looks down and at me and I pity this person, or if I want to help this person in this situation and I give money to this person, God knows the intentions of my heart. He knows my motives. And I want to be blessed for that. You say, well, this guy was a fraud, and look what he did with the money that you got. That's not my worry. God's got this handled. Both the poor man in need and the deceitful man. Now, this verse doesn't say exactly what, you know, it just tied it together in my mind. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. They meet God just like we do. They're going to be responsible for their actions. They'll stand before God for themselves and give an account of what they do. God has both the giver or the refuser to give, and he's got the poor and the deceitful all under control. So see, if I'm in that situation again, and I will be, because we you know, if you're out and about town, this is going to happen. Some intersections in Lubbock, it happens every time. If they don't approach you, then you're going to see their sign. So I think there's a balance there for the child of God. We need to be givers. We need to have God's love His charity, His desire for us to assist each